Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. Today is the Feast of Saint Jehoshaphat, and you might say, and just who is Saint Jehoshaphat? I want to share this little summary of his life from Magnificat magazine, because it speaks of the price we need to pay for unity or reestablishing relationships. Sometimes it's very, very difficult with all the rifts and damage that's been done in the past. But look at Saint Jehoshaphat. Look how he gave his life. He was born of Ruthenian parents in present-day Ukraine. Jehoshaphat eschewed marriage and career to enter the monastery in 1604. After his election as Archbishop of Pollux, he sought ways to bring his fellow Ruthenians who clung to the Orthodox Church into the Catholic communion. In 1620, a rival archbishop arose challenging Jehoshaphat. In 1623, the supporters of this rival killed Jehoshaphat. Look at this. This is the church. They killed Jehoshaphat and threw his body into the river. Look what we do to one another for earthly gain. And we destroy the possibility of eternal life unless we repent. If we repent, it's restored. No matter how badly the sin, if we repent, it's restored. But look at this, that we fight and we're jealous and we're envious and we try to conquer and control, and it never comes to a good end, even if it seems to in the beginning. It never comes to a good end. And in this case, even lives were taken. Soon thereafter, the schismatic bishop and many of his adherents sought union with Rome. They woke up. They woke up. The blood of Saint Jehoshaphat, even today, says Pius XI, the blood of Saint Jehoshaphat, even today, as it was 300 years ago, is a very special pledge of peace, the seal of unity. They woke up when there was a death at hand, and Jehoshaphat gave his life for it. First reading for this Mass is taken from Paul's letter to Titus, chapter 1, verses 1 to 9. Paul, a slave of God and apostle of Jesus Christ, for the sake of the faith in God's chosen ones and the recognition of religious truth in the hope of eternal life, that God, who does not lie, promised before time began, who indeed at the proper time revealed his word in the proclamation with which I was entrusted by the command of God our Savior to Titus, my true child in our common faith, grace and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Savior. Look at the relationships that were being built. Look at the care for one another that was going on. Think about our own situations, our own parishes. How much care are we giving one another in the work that each is doing to build up the body of Christ? For this reason, I left you in Crete so that you might set right what remains to be done and appoint presbyters in every town as I directed you, on condition that a man be blameless, married only once, with believing children, who are not accused of licentiousness or rebellious. For a bishop, as God's steward, must be blameless, not arrogant, not irritable, not a drunkard, not aggressive, not greedy for sordid gain, but hospitable, a lover of goodness, temperate, just, holy, self-controlled, holding fast to the true message as taught, so that he will be able both to exhort with sound doctrine and to refute opponents. Now, all of us can use this as a test of ourselves, but particularly our deacons, our priests, our bishops. A bishop, as God's steward, must be blameless, not arrogant, not irritable, not a drunkard, not aggressive, not greedy for sordid gain, but hospitable, a lover of goodness, temperate, even tempered, just, holy, self-controlled, holding fast to the true message. It's a wonderful, wonderful criteria for those who are ordained to some position in the church. Here's the examination of conscience. But all of us, because all of us serve others in some way. Most of us minister to people in many, many different ways, hidden ways. But again, use this as your criteria, because the more you're living in the light of God, the more the light of God shines in you to give you wisdom and through you to help other people come to know him. And it really does. That's not just a nice sentiment. It's a reality. We play our part. God plays his. His part is much bigger, but he does it willingly. All he looks for from us is a desire to serve him and a desire to repent when we fail. Psalm 24, Lord, this is the people that longs to see your face. How much do you long to see God's face? A face of love beyond anything we've imagined or experienced. Total love, totally given. This is the people that longs to see your face. Think about that. Read Psalm 24 yourself. I'm not going to spend time on it right now, but read it out loud. Read the whole psalm. Just read it out loud and ask yourself, am I seeking for God? Do I seek the face of the God of Jacob? Do I seek to follow him? Do I repent of my sin? Am I living, in other words, in active engagement with my Savior and my Father? And we turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, verses 1 to 6. Jesus said to his disciples, things that cause sin will inevitably occur, but woe to the one through whom they occur. Let me repeat that. Things that cause sin will inevitably occur, but woe to the one through whom they occur. It would be better for him if a millstone were put around his neck and he be thrown into the sea than for him to cause one of these little ones to sin, causing children to sin, but also causing those who don't yet have faith, but they're looking, they're seeking. It's a little one. How do you relate to people? Are they drawn to you? Do they find Christ through you? They can. Oh, I can't talk. I don't have these abilities. Just say to the Lord, Lord, how do you want to use me? Because he created us in order that we could reach out to other people and bring them to God. He's not going to deny you a place in that work, but he does wait for our free will to act. Am I saying, Lord, use me? Use me today. Show me how to use me. I don't even know how you want to use me. But Lord, I want to be available to you in thought and word and deed. Help me today. You pray that every day. You watch how God uses you. Be on your guard. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. You let it go. You drop it. And if he wrongs you seven times in one day, which means the perfect number, the complete, I mean, he couldn't wrong you more. He's wronged you every step of the way today. And he returns to you seven times saying, I am sorry. You should forgive him. And that's a tough one. I've got to see proof that he really means it. Sometimes it takes time for people to break a habit or pattern of sin. They want to, but it's so much a part of them that they're into it before they even recognize it. But when they see it, they repent to you. Be blessed by that. Encourage them. Stand by them. Show them the fruit that is bearing in your life. Help them. Cultivate the relationship, strengthen them. God will be blessed in you and through you. Even if he wrongs you seven times in one day and returns to you seven times saying, I am sorry, you should forgive him. It's true. We can't carry that. You might want to give him a little help in learning how to overcome that sin, if you have it, or tell them where you can go to get help to break that habit pattern. It's hard to break a pattern. But if you say, you know, finally after the seventh time, I do forgive you again, but I really encourage you to talk to so-and-so, or I encourage you to ask the Lord to give you wisdom so that you don't keep falling into the same pit. Seven times a day is a lot. But Jesus is not saying ignore them or turn away from them. He's saying forgive them. And then, if it's at all possible, give them some help. And the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. I'll bet they did, because it was a whole new way of dealing with life, of dealing with those who had hurt us, dealing with the gospel, dealing with the enemies of the gospel. There are all kinds of reactions that would occur in men's hearts. And the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. Give us greater faith to believe that you are in this, that the grace of God is here, that we can conquer, we can overcome. And the Lord replied, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you would say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. How great is your faith? My faith is not that deep. What it means is that I need to grow in my relationship with God so that if God asked me, not because I came up with my own plan, but if God asked me through others, through those I respect, God asked me to cultivate the gift of healing that people think is in me, then I'm going to go through a period of trial and error. I'm like a child with a gift in my hand and I don't know how to use it. I always say to the Lord, where's the owner's manual, which is the scripture? But teach me. How do you want to work through me to help others? How do you want to live? How do you want to express yourself through me to bring the people that I'm around closer to you? Those are the kinds of things we ought to be asking the Lord daily and see how he leads us and helps us. I've encountered so many people, perhaps who do not have the level of education that I have, who have been simple laborers all their heart, all their lives, and yet they understand this because they don't depend on themselves. They don't rely on their own gifts and their own talents, because they seem to have very few, yet they have the greatest gift, the gift of faith in God. They've taught me a lot. They've taught me a lot about simplicity. They've taught me a lot about how to rely on God and not on self and not on what the world offers, but on God. They have given me greater lessons than some of the most famous people in the world that I've encountered. Not that they haven't blessed me too, but I would have to say the person who is poor, who knows they have little, and yet they turn to the Lord all the time, those are the people you want to draw close to. They are a gift. May God bless you. Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Sister Ann Shields, and I want to encourage you, if you would like a free copy of my booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold, which we need right now, you can receive that by calling our 800 number, 1-800-282-4789, or you can simply go to renewalministries.net/FFJ. May God bless you.